It's week one of the 2025 college football season, and today we're getting into the 10 biggest games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers at GaryWCE. And look, here's what we're going to do for each week going through the 2025 football season. We're going to have a video every Monday or Tuesday. We'll see how this thing goes. We'll see how the schedule works. But I'm going to do the 10 biggest games, and we're going to do a breakdown of those. Go ahead and give you my pick on each game as well. We'll do a best bets thing towards the end of the season, or excuse me, the end of the week. But we're doing the 10 biggest games, and then either Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going to do another 20 games. And those will be quick hitters, go through, give you my thoughts on those games. The rest of the games that are on the schedule, you'll be able to find the stuff over at bettingcfb.com. But we're not going to waste a bunch of time. We're going to get into it because you guys just want picks. So let's go ahead and get started. Game number one, we are going to start off with Texas and Ohio State. They are playing in the Horseshoe. This one's Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on Fox. It is the second straight for Texas against Ohio State. You remember the 28-14 loss in the CFP semifinals last year. If you look at the numbers on your screen, Texas right now, the best odds that you can get are Ohio State -1.5 or Texas +2.5. The consensus is 2.5 pretty much across the board at all the major sports books. And, you know, I'm a little curious about it. 47.5 appears to be our total everywhere. Opened at 50.5. It has come down. And our money line opened at Ohio State -140, Texas +120. Right now, the best odds you can get are Ohio State -120 or Texas +106. So not great odds on the underdog here. There's been a lot of money coming in both ways on this. Let's go ahead and close out that one, and we'll look at what we've got on the screen here. Don't forget, bettingcfb.com is where you can get the stat sheets. I'm going to have new ones up for next week, but for now, this is what you're getting. Texas 5-1 against the spread, 6-0 straight up in their last six openers, but they are 1-6 against the spread against the Big Ten since 2006. Ohio State 0-3-1 against the spread in their last four openers. Ryan Day, until last year's college football playoff run, he was 0-3 against the SEC. So, something to pay attention to when it comes to this. Do we really consider Texas an SEC team just yet? Those numbers are a little right? Looking at this, Steve Sarkisian, of course, is our head coach for the Texas Longhorns. Looking at the roster talent, you've got number 3 for Ohio State, number 5 for Texas. Power rating, these two are pretty much equal, number 1, number 2, whichever way you want to go about it there. Adjusted returning production, Texas surprisingly has more, but Ohio State is slightly more talented, so do with that what you will. The Ohio State numbers from last year don't really matter compared to this year. Texas, kind of the same thing. We know what Arch Manning is, or at least we think we do. We hadn't seen anything great out of him just yet, so something to pay attention to with that. The average offensive rank for Texas is at number 11. The defensive rank for Texas is number 2. The average offensive rank for Ohio State is 2, and the average defensive rank for Ohio State is 1. Now, Matt Patricia is the new defensive coordinator for Ohio State. I'm very curious what exactly he's going to look like after they lost Jim Knowles. But I don't imagine the defense takes too big of a step back. They've probably got the best defense player in the country in Caleb Downs. Let's do some position breakdowns here. These are based on experience and recruiting ranking, right? We'll say that. Quarterback, Texas number 24, Ohio State number 59. That's the entire quarterback room that we're looking at. Remember, Ohio State had a lot of guys transfer out. Devin Brown is gone to Cal. He did not even win the starting job there. Aaron Nolan transferred out. He's going to South Carolina. He is not going to be the starter there because of Lenore Sellers. Texas, Arch Manning, and then the guys that are behind him. I think it's going to be good stuff. Offensive line versus defensive line. Ohio State's offensive line, number 8. Texas defensive line, number 13. Pretty even matchup on that. The running back for Ohio State, running back room, number 10, compared to the linebackers for Texas, number 1. Texas has a defense, boy. They have got a defense. The skill positions against the back 7. Ohio State skill positions, number 4, and the back 7, number 1. Very interesting how this is going to look when Ohio State is on the field. A lot of this is going to come down to whether or not Julian Sand can make plays. When Texas is on the field, their offensive line, number 17. We got questions about this offensive line, right? The defensive line for Ohio State, we're looking at number 8. So 17 against 8. Again, pretty even. A lot that we're going to find out in this game. The running backs for Texas, 26. Of course, Wisner, fantastic. They got all kind of guys back. So number 26, running back. Number 5, linebackers for Ohio State. So that seems like an advantage of Ohio State. Obviously, we'll see. Skill position for Texas, number 6. The back 7 for Ohio State, number 3. This is going to be an interesting ball game. It's pretty even across the board. Who is going to step up and make plays? I'll tell you, I think that it's going to be Ohio State. I am rolling Ohio State. Best number that we can get on the board is Ohio State minus 1.5. Give me the Buckeyes in this first big game for week number 1. The second big game for us on this one, LSU traveling to Clemson, the Battle of the Death Valleys, the Battle of the Tigers, all that good stuff. This is only the third meeting since 2012 between these two. The teams are 1-1, and this is the first home-and-home that we've seen. I'm sure you guys remember the 2019 LSU national title run. They beat Clemson in the national title game, 42-25. It was an incredible, incredible performance. The number on this one, best number you can get, or let's go consensus. Clemson, a 4-point favorite in this one, total of 57.5, and our money line consensus is Clemson minus 180, LSU plus 150. So let's go on and get this out of the way, and let's take a look. Chance to win the game. We're looking at Clemson around 64%. I've got Clemson minus 175 for the money line. I've got LSU with a 36.41% chance to win the game. So, and the money line numbers are just about right, just about where they are supposed to be. Maybe a little more value on LSU when it comes to that. I've got Clemson minus 3.7 as a projection. Let's go over some of the stats here, some of the trends. LSU 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 openers. 3 of those have been under Brian Kelly. LSU 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 on the road. They are 2-4 against the spread in their last 6 as an underdog. Clemson, however, 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 as a home favorite. And Clemson 2-8 against the spread in their last 10 against the SEC. Interesting numbers. Not a lot of trends that go either direction on this. If we look at our numbers here on the screen, roster talent, pretty similar. Number 10 for Clemson, number 13 for LSU. Power rating is just about right there, so home field advantage likely is going to play a big part of this. Adjusted returning production. LSU has brought in a bunch of dudes that have experience. It's still not enough to get them up to where Clemson is, because Clemson, 78% adjusted returning production. That is number 1 in the country. LSU is number 27. That's a monster. Monster number. Garrett Riley going into, I believe, his 3rd season as the offensive coordinator. Things have certainly picked up as far as that goes. Number 32 in time per play on offense, number 73 for LSU on that explosive margin. Not very good for either team last year. We're looking at number 8 against number 7 when it comes to offensive rank. Defensive rank, number 15 against number 33. LSU has got some stuff to improve on, but let's take a look at the position breakdowns, okay? Quarterbacks, both of them are really, really good. Cade Klubnik on the Clemson side. Of course, Garrett Nussmeier on the LSU side. The Clemson offensive line, number 1 unit in the country. Defensive line for LSU, based on the guys that are coming in, number 5. That will be a huge boost for the Tigers from Baton Rouge. Running back versus linebacker. Right. Well, yeah, running back number 30 for Clemson. They've a lot of unproven there. Of course, they lost Phil Maffa to the NFL. Linebackers for LSU, number 2. That's based on experience and recruiting rankings. Skill position, number 9 for Clemson. Surprising to see them up that high. The back 7 for LSU, number 2. They got dudes down on the bayou. That's the way it works. So those position number groups for LSU's defense, surprisingly higher than they have been in recent years. They've had talent. They just hadn't known what to do with it. I think Blake Baker is certainly heading things in the right direction. Now, the other side of the field, defensive line against offensive line. Clemson's defensive line, number 2. The offensive line for LSU, that's where the question marks are, number 29. The linebackers for Clemson, number 24. Not as much experience when it comes to that side. Running backs for LSU, number 18. We're going to see exactly what they look like this year because there were questions about them last year as well. They could not run the football. And then the back 7 for Clemson, number 19. The skill positions for LSU, number 2. They got wide receivers. They got studs. It is going to be a good offensive year for LSU, I would believe, so long as the offensive line can hold up. This is one of those games where it looks like there's a mismatch between the defensive line for Clemson and the offensive line for LSU. If that offensive line can hold up, I feel pretty decent about Brian Kelly's bunch. However, home night game for Dabo Swinney, this is one of those spots. I know LSU has been building up for it. I got to tell you, I'm going with Clemson here, minus the 4. I know that I'm minus 3.7. I don't like that extra point here. I think it's going to be a tight game. But if I had to pick one, I'm going Death Valley at night, and it'll be the one in South Carolina that gets it done. So give me Clemson minus the 4 on this one. Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started. If you would so kindly make sure to like the video, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel and the audio podcast. Going to be a lot of audio only shows on the podcast feed this year, so make sure that you are there as well. Let's move into game number 3 here. And this is the third biggest game of the weekend, at least according to me. I'm deciding these. I'm picking out which ones we're doing. So Notre Dame travels to Miami. This one's on Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. The last meeting between these two was in 2017. It was a 41-8 Miami win. And the numbers right now have Miami as a 2.5-point home dog, and that's the consensus. Total is 49.5 on this. You can get a 50.5 in some places. It opened at 54.5. Notre Dame was a 3-point favorite. It came down to 2.5. It's still sitting at 2.5. We'll see exactly how much that moves this week. Money line, minus 130 for Notre Dame, plus 110 for Miami. And let's get an idea. Da-da-da-da. And we didn't put up the right graphic, did we? You know, we can just change it right here. That's the way it works. So Miami is going to be our pick on that, and Notre Dame on that one. So let's check it out. Let's see what we got, and let's take it off of this one. I've got Notre Dame minus 2.8, so right in alignment with the number. Miami 0-4 against the spread against top 10 teams in their last 4 in that spot. They are 6-0 against the spread at home against Notre Dame in their last 6 meetings. Now, that dates all the way back to, Lord, the 50s, I guess it was. So it's been a long, long time. Irish, 7-2 against the spread as a road favorite in their last 9, all of those coming under Marcus Freeman. Miami 3-2 against the spread as a dog since 2023, or as a home dog. So that is something to pay attention to. No, just as a dog. Yeah, Miami is not an underdog very, very often. Roster talent, Notre Dame number 6, Miami number 14. That is something to pay attention to, certainly. Power rating certainly has Notre Dame higher. Adjusted returning production, both of them in the 50s. You look at success margin, PPA margin, all that kind of stuff from last year. Surprising. Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator for Miami. I'm curious what he's going to look like against the new defensive coordinator, Chris Ash, for Notre Dame. I think they're still going to run Marcus Freeman's defense. Shouldn't be that much of an issue. Mike Denbrock at offense for Notre Dame. Got a new quarterback. CJ Carr was announced as the starter. Everybody was surprised it wasn't Minchie. I'm curious myself exactly what this is going to look like. I would imagine that they are going to run the football a lot. Just a guess. Corey Heatherman is the new defensive coordinator for Miami. He wasn't Minnesota last year. I think that's a good thing because Miami certainly was not good last season. Miami, as far as the quarterback is concerned, number 2 compared to number 74 for Notre Dame. Notre Dame has zero experience at the position. Zero. Carson Beck at least has a bunch of experience and at one point was considered, he was the Heisman favorite last year. He was considered the projected number 1 overall pick in the NFL draft before last season. Just a lot that is in Carson Beck's favor, and certainly things that you hear out of camp are a good thing. Notre Dame defensive line number 17, Miami's offensive line number 14, Miami running backs number 27 against Notre Dame number 10 linebackers. Skill positions, Miami number 5, Notre Dame 16. There's still some issues as far as overall talent. Now, if you look at the overall roster, Notre Dame better talent than Miami. But when it comes to position groups, I feel a little bit of an advantage for Miami when it comes to that. Offensive line for Notre Dame, number 16. Number 4 defensive line for Miami. Running backs, number 9 for Notre Dame. 15 linebackers for Miami. Back 7, 12 for Miami. The skill positions, number 19 for Notre Dame. So, Great House and that bunch going to have to step up like they did in the CFP this past season. I am on the Miami side on this. Going down to South Bend, or not South Bend, South Beach. Yeah, it is what it is. I feel good about Miami in this spot. I know it's a Sunday night game. I know Notre Dame played really, really well last year. There's a lot of changes at Notre Dame. I think that the changes at Miami are to improve. I think the changes at Notre Dame have maybe taken them back a little bit. I like the experience at quarterback as well. Give me the Hurricanes plus the 2.5 on this. That's the best number we can get right now. I think Miami wins the game outright, so I'll certainly take 2.5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Game number 4, Friday night. We've got Auburn heading to Waco to take on the Baylor Bears. Baylor right now a 2.5-point home dog in this one, at least per the consensus. Total of 57.5 across the board. Our money line here, Auburn minus 135, Baylor plus 114. So you can get some plus 115s. You can get Auburn as low as minus 132 if you just want to take them on the money line. This is another one of those that's a field goal either way, one way or the other. This one, you know, like I said, 7 p.m. on Fox. These two last met in 1975 and 1976. Baylor is 2-2 straight up and against the spread against the SEC. Auburn has won 8 straight openers, but this is their first road opener since 2003 at USC. It's the first time they've been a road favorite since 2023. Auburn 4-2 against the spread on the road since November of 2023. Baylor 6-1 against the spread at home since the 2023 season. So something to pay attention to with this. And let's take a look at the roster talent, at the numbers, all that. Auburn, number 7, just a drastic change. Auburn has the roster to be very, very good. Like, very, very good. Returning production, number 10 for Baylor, number 15 for Auburn. So both of these should know the schemes. They should know what they're getting into. Excuse me. Auburn's numbers last year said that they should have been better than they were. I think that's the easiest way to put that, right? They were number 21 in success margin, number 20 in PPA margin. Baylor was number 24 in success margin, but number 59 in PPA margin. That's predicted points added margin. Both of these offenses like to go kind of fast. Derek Nix is the offensive coordinator for Auburn. However, we all know Hugh Freeze runs his own offense. I mean, we know how that goes. DJ Durkin, the defensive coordinator for Auburn. Jake Spavital is the offensive coordinator and certainly turned things around with Sawyer Robertson, the quarterback for Baylor last year. Matt Pallage is the defensive coordinator for Baylor. Baylor should not be as good as Auburn. If Auburn's defense steps up, that's going to be a big thing to pay attention to. Baylor's offensive line, number 39. Auburn's defensive line, number 23. Not a great running game for Baylor. Linebackers for Auburn are not great. The strength of this Auburn team is going to be the offensive line. They are number 4 there. The Baylor defensive line is number 58. So Auburn, I don't know what we've got really at running back. They lost Jarquez Hunter, however you say it. They lost him last year. The back 7 against the skill talent, you know, this appears to be a Baylor advantage, we'll say. Number 17 on offense for the skill players for Baylor against the back 7, number 30 for Auburn. As far as the skill position for Auburn, number 33, which is a bit surprising, but that includes running backs as well. Their wide receiver core is fantastic. But the back 7 for Baylor, number 45. Can Baylor slow down this offense? That's going to be questionable. I think it could just be that Auburn slows down themselves, right? Like, I don't want to spend too long on all these previews, but the way that it looks to me, like, I trust Sawyer Robertson. I trust Jake Spavital. I'm curious about Jackson Arnold or Ashton Daniels or whatever way that they're going to do this. And then having, you know, Auburn, they came out and said that we got somebody that calls first down plays, somebody calls second down, somebody calls third down, and Hugh Freeze gets to override all of it if he wants to. It sounds like too much. And the stuff that you've heard out of camp about Jackson Arnold has not been great. I don't trust Auburn to not run into the same problems that they had last year. Do I think they're going to be better on the line of scrimmage than Baylor? Absolutely. Do I think that Baylor might be able to hit some bigger plays? Absolutely. So I'm going to go with the home team on this on Friday night. I don't trust Auburn. I do kind of trust Baylor and Dave Aranda. Give me the Bears, plus 2.5 at home on Friday night. Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today. Game number 5 we're looking at, and this one is on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on ESPN. This one's in Kansas City at Arrowhead. We got the Nebraska Cornhuskers going up against the Cincinnati Bearcats, and from what I hear, about 90% of the tickets have gone to Nebraska fans. This is going to be like a 9th home game for the Cornhuskers. Looking at the numbers right now, Nebraska, a 6.5-point favorite. That's the consensus currently, and it opened at 6.5. So it's kind of moved back and forth a little bit, but it is steady at 6.5, and nobody wants to come off of that number. Total of 53.5, that is up from the 52.5, and you can even get 54.5s out there at a couple of spots. Let's see. Yeah, two different spots have 54.5. So the offense is looking pretty good. Money line right now, it's across the board, basically minus 250 for Nebraska money line. If you want to play the dog here, plus 205 is the best that you can get on Cincinnati. So looking at some of the numbers, Cincy 0-5 against the spread and straight up to close last season. They ended terribly. I think that's the easiest way to put it. Along with that, this is their first meeting between these two since 1906. Nebraska is 4-6 straight up, 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 openers. Cincy, 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 against the Big Ten. However, if we're looking at favorites and dogs here, how they play in this position, Cincinnati 1-6-1 against the spread in their last 8 as a dog. Nebraska in their last 8 as a favorite, 5-2-1. So certainly the trend would lead towards Nebraska in that since he does not play Big Ten competition all that often. So Satterfield and his bunch, they are number 30 in returning production. So they should be a bit better this season than they were. Number 37 in adjusted returning production for Matt Rhule. We all know about the Matt Rhule third year thing. Everybody seems to be bought in on this. Josh Pate has Nebraska in his playoff. I have Nebraska going 9-3, and even that felt a bit much, right? We know the history. We know what's up. They won 7 games last year. Nebraska finally got to a bowl game since 2016. Felt good. Dana Holgorsen is the new offensive coordinator. There seems to be a lot of love in the market for Dylan Raiola and that, but we'll see exactly what that means. But the average offensive rank, you know, number 57, but they're number 18 in adjusted returning production on offense. Cincinnati, number 73, average offensive rank, and they are number 55 in adjusted returning production on that, but they do get their quarterback back, so that's certainly going to help. John Butler is the defensive coordinator for Nebraska. He has got a defensive line problem. Number 60 on the defensive line compared to number 35 for Cincy's offensive line. Those might be a little closer than you think, but I certainly would think Cincinnati has an advantage there. Quarterback-wise, Nebraska certainly with an advantage. I'm curious, like the running backs for Nebraska, I don't have a lot of faith there. But the offensive line for Nebraska should be pretty good. Number 24 compared to number 37 for the defensive line for Cincy. The back 7 against the skill talent, it's pretty equal. Cincy skill talent, number 30, Nebraska's back 7, number 48 on the other side. Skill talent for Nebraska, number 66. But Dane Key, I think, is going to be good. I think they got some other hidden gems in there. Remember, these are based on experience and recruiting rankings. So something to pay attention to when it comes to that. Most people are going with Cincinnati on this because maybe this shouldn't be a 6.5-point spread. I've got it Nebraska minus 6.4. My money line on this is Nebraska minus 158, so there might be some value on Cincinnati. But when it comes down to it, I like Dana Holgorsen. I like what they're doing with Matt Rhule's third year. I like what I'm hearing out of camp. I like all of that. And I like the Cornhuskers, so I'm going to roll with it. Give me Nebraska minus 6.5 in this one. If you haven't already, jump in the comments. Tell me what you think about the show. I would love to hear from you. But let's go ahead and move into game number 6 here. And let's pull up our numbers. This one on Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Alabama heads down to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. It is their first trip to Doak Campbell Stadium. And this is the debut of the renovated Doak Campbell. That's big. I mean, it's a huge, huge thing because they are going to be at full capacity. Florida State 1-4 straight up against Alabama. Now, these matchups go back forever. Bobby Bowden is the one that got the win, and he did that over Nick Saban in 2007. That one was in Jacksonville, neutral site game. But Saban also beat Jimbo Fisher, and they beat Florida State a couple other times as well in the past, but that was before Florida State got real, real good. Alabama 23-0 in season openers. They are 18-5 against the spread in those last 23 openers. Alabama 2-4 against the spread in their last six as a road favorite. Florida State 4-5 against the spread as a home dog under Norvell. So another one of these teams play real well in these situations. The numbers on this, Alabama a 13.5 point favorite. That is the best odds that you can get at this point. Opened at 12.5, got up pretty high, dropped down for a little bit. I mean, it's just been all over the place. I think it was at 9.5 at one point over the summer. Just bananas. 50.5 is our total. Opened at that, has, you know, moved a bit, bounced around, came back exactly to that. And then our money lines. -550 is the consensus for Alabama. You can get a -525. You can also get a -650. If you want the Florida State money line, +400 is the consensus. You can get a 425 out there or a 440 at a different book as well. Let's close that out. Let's take a look. Overall roster talent, Alabama is number one in the country. Florida State is number 23. Now, if you watched them play last year, you would not believe that. But they revamped everything, brought in a new offensive coordinator, former UCF head coach, former Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn, number 62 in adjusted returning production on offense for Florida State. Alabama brings in Ryan Grubb as their offensive coordinator. Of course, he had a cup of coffee in Tuscaloosa last year before he left to be the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. And now he's back. Had 1 year in the NFL, ended up coming back after that. Maurice Lingus and Kane Womack. Kane is really the DC. He's the play caller for the defense there. Tony White from Nebraska is the new defensive coordinator for Florida State. Excuse me. Number 18 in adjusted returning production. He had some guys that come with him from Nebraska, so that is something to pay attention to. You can't look at Florida State's numbers from last year and get a good read on this game. It's not going to happen. If you look at the position groups, Alabama's problems last year came from, and my father and I talked about this, running quarterbacks were an issue. Well, looky here. We got Gus Malzahn, who loves running quarterbacks, and he's got Thomas Castellanos, who is a running quarterback that came in from Boston College. The offensive line for Florida State is number 10. Alabama's defensive line is number 3. Now, again, these are rankings that come from recruiting rankings and experience. They have got like 4 fifth-year seniors on that offensive line. Now, granted, they come from Wake Forest and Vanderbilt and UCF, and they've got one left over from Florida State, but they got 8 new starters that were transfers on the Florida State offense this year. Thomas Castellanos, of course, being the star of that. Roydell Williams is the running back. He didn't play a whole lot last year because he got injured, but he was a transfer from Alabama. So there's just a lot of new faces when it comes to Florida State. But if you look at recruiting and experience, Florida State, number 20 at quarterback, number 10 on offensive line, number 20 running back, and number 16 skill positions. Against Alabama's defense, number 37 at quarterback. That's not a defensive position, but you get it. Number 3 defensive line, number 3 linebackers, number 4 in the back 7. The secondary for Alabama is going to be huge. The problem is Alabama runs a 3-3-5. Are they going to be able to put somebody else in the box to stop the run? Because that is what Gus Malzahn specializes in. Again, this is game one of the season. What exactly is Florida State going to look like? Can Alabama's quarterbacks throw the football? Tony White likes to run a 3-3-5 as well. I don't necessarily trust their ability to be able to run the ball because Jam Miller is out. That's the starting running back for Alabama. He's going to be out at least until game number 4 against Georgia because of a dislocated collarbone. What are the other guys going to look like? I believe it's Daniel Hill, Richard Young, guys like that. Florida State's defense has talent. Number 22 defensive line, number 28 linebacker, number 28 back 7. Alabama's offense, number 7 offensive line, number 38 running backs, and that's dropped because obviously Jam Miller is not there. Number 24 skill positions. They got studs. They got some dudes. Isaiah Horton comes in from Miami. Of course, Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard. They got dudes. What is the tight end position going to look like? What is Ty Simpson going to look like? The starting quarterback? We don't know exactly. I'm curious. I'm very curious about this one. I've got Bama favored by 16.5 based on power ratings, -430. I got to tell you, though, I'm going to take Florida State plus 13.5. Alabama's 2-4 against the spread road record. I don't feel great about that. Of course, Florida State, this is first game at Doak, newly renovated. Everybody's going to be fired up. They are ready to wash away last year. Yes, Thomas Castellanos said some things in the offseason. I do think Alabama will win the game. Do I think they cover 13.5? Probably not. So give me Florida State plus 13.5 on this one. Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com. Game number 7, and this one is on Friday night, 7 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Georgia Tech heads to Colorado. This is Georgia Tech's first game west of the Mississippi River since 2013. Wow. I mean, that's wild. The numbers that we have on this one. Right now, Georgia Tech is a 4-point favorite pretty much across the board. Total is 54.5. That has come down from the opener of 56.5. And we're looking at a money line of minus 192 consensus for Georgia Tech, plus 155 for Colorado. Let's break down some of these trends. Colorado 8-2 straight up, 6-4 against the spread in their last 10 openers. Colorado 4-0 against the spread as a home underdog under Deion Sanders. And Georgia Tech 1-1 straight up and against the spread as a road favorite under Brent Key. However, as a favorite overall of any number, Georgia Tech 5-14-1 since 2019 as a favorite. They do not play well in this position. Brent Key, as everybody knows, does better when they are an underdog. So I'm curious what this season is going to look like for the Yellow Jackets. And let's take a look at the roster talent and just overall numbers. I have Colorado favored to win the game, minus 2.4. I couldn't figure it out. They lost a lot as far as returning production. Georgia Tech, number 26 in the country in adjusted returning production. Colorado, number 82. But I've got Colorado with a better power rating than Georgia Tech. Yes, I like Georgia Tech in the ACC. I think they're going to be plucky. I think there's going to be some... I like Haynes King at quarterback. I don't necessarily like the quarterback situation for Colorado. Caden Salter is going to be the starter. I think Juju Lewis is going to get to play. But you start diving into this, and I don't know exactly what we're going to get, right? Colorado running backs, like Pat Shurmur is the offense coordinator here. Buster Faulkner is certainly going to have some things going, but I cannot wait to see that matchup of Buster Faulkner as the offense coordinator against Robert Livingston, the defensive coordinator. Colorado's defense was really good last year. If you look at what these guys have, Colorado, number 35 defensive line, against Georgia Tech, number 70 offensive line. That's a huge, huge part of this. Colorado, number 27 linebackers against Georgia Tech, number 24 running backs. Back seven, Colorado, number 34, skill position talent for Georgia Tech, number 18. Colorado's offense, number 22 offensive line against number 42 defensive line for Georgia Tech. Running backs, not great for Colorado. I think they'll be able to come up with something. I just don't know exactly what. But number 92 running backs for Colorado against number 54 linebackers for Georgia Tech. Number 43 skill position talent for Colorado against number 49 back seven for Georgia Tech. I'm interested. Both of these teams that have good quarterbacks, I don't know exactly what to think of Colorado's, but it's all in how Shurmur's going to use them, right? So when I look at this four number, I've got a lot of value on this. Coach Prime always seems to come up with something. And everybody's on this Georgia Tech hype train. I think it sees an early decline. I think it sees an early bump in the road, we'll say. Something wrong with the tracks. You get the point. I'm going to go Colorado plus four. Like, you guys tell me in the comments what you think about this, but I'm Colorado plus four on this one. Game number 8, and we have got South Carolina taking on Virginia Tech. This one's in Atlanta. It is a neutral site game. And this one's interesting. It is the first meeting since 1991 for these two, and it is a Beamer game. For sure. Everybody remembers Frank Beamer was the head coach for Virginia Tech for a long time. Well, his son, Shane Beamer, is the head coach at South Carolina. He is heading into, I believe, his fifth season. This is a massive, or maybe a sixth. We'll look here in a minute. I've got it on the sheet. South Carolina 4-0-2 in their last six against Virginia Tech. So they are used to winning this matchup. The numbers on this right now, you can get an 8 out there if you like Virginia Tech. If you like South Carolina, best you can do is 7.5. This thing has come down from 9.5 was the opener. Consensus right now is 7.5, though. Our total has gone up from 45.5 up to 50.5. There's a 49.5 and a 50 on the board if you like those, but our consensus is 50.5. And our money lines, plus 260 if you like the Hokies, minus 325 if you like South Carolina. Looking at some of the trends, Virginia Tech 6-4 straight up, 5-5 against the spread in their last 10 openers. South Carolina 1-3 against the spread at neutrals, 2-2 against the spread in their last 4 openers. Virginia Tech 2-7 against the spread against the SEC since 2006. South Carolina 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 as a favorite. Virginia Tech 3-4 against the number as a dog in the last 2 seasons. Something to pay attention to here, Virginia Tech, their presumed starting running back, their top tailback, Tyrion Stewart, foot injury. He was seen in a boot like 3-4 days ago in camp. We'll see exactly what that looks like, but all the reports are that he is likely to miss the opener. Now, this is a later opener because this one's Sunday, 2 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Curious, like Hawkins or Coney are going to get the bulk of the carries on this, so that is something to pay attention to. When you look at the roster talent, this is not even close. South Carolina number 16, Virginia Tech number 56. However, Virginia Tech does get Kyren Drones back at quarterback, so that's something to pay attention to. Adjusted returning production, South Carolina number 45, Virginia Tech number 64. South Carolina does have some experience coming back. Lenore Sellers is just a dude. He's an absolute dude, but you didn't see a lot of passing from him last year. Mike Shula is the new offensive coordinator after Dowell Loggins takes over the App State job. Phillip Montgomery is the offensive coordinator for Virginia Tech. That's something to pay attention to. Their offensive coordinator left to be the offensive line coach at Ohio State. If that tells you anything about the state of college football and the difference between the Power 2 conferences and the next two conferences. So Virginia Tech just doesn't have a lot of money. But that's neither here nor there. That's not what we're going to get into today. Breaking down position by position, like one of the things that we've talked about on the show is that South Carolina probably not going to be as good on the defensive line as they were last year. They lost a bunch of dudes to the NFL. Their defense was stacked last year. Linebacker, certainly going to be a question mark for them. If you see on the screen, Virginia Tech number 3 at running back, well, that was with Tyrion Stewart. Now, without him, what is that really going to look like? The linebackers are certainly going to be a question mark for South Carolina. We're not sure what to expect there. Defensive line, still going to be pretty good for South Carolina, especially in a matchup like this where you're going up against the number 65 offensive line for Virginia Tech. So number 28 against 65 there. Defensive line for Virginia Tech, number 21. That is a strength for them. The offensive line for South Carolina, number 27. Running back, number 16 for South Carolina against number 73 linebackers for Virginia Tech. And then the skill positions for South Carolina, number 7. That's wild. That's intense. Good tight ends, good wide receivers. Curious what Nick Harbor is going to look like now that he is focused on football as opposed to track and football. The skill positions for Virginia Tech, number 23 against the back 7 for South Carolina. Questions about the secondary, certainly. This is still an overwhelming spot for South Carolina. I like the Gamecocks here. Give me the Gamecocks -7.5. I know that my number has them by 7.1, but when you just break it down talent-wise and looking at coaching continuity, etc., I feel good about South Carolina. Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. With our promo code, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter. Again, a reminder, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and jump in the comments. Tell me what you think I got right, what you think I got wrong. Tell me what your picks are on these games, because I don't want to hear it afterwards. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you don't put your picks out here, I don't want to hear it from you. Regardless, I'm picking every game. So, moving on to game at number 9. This one's Monday night, and this is game number 9 of the best games of the weekend that I have selected. These are mine. This is not from ESPN Pick'em or whatever. These are mine. So, TCU and North Carolina in Chapel Hill, Monday night, 7 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. And look, the last meeting was a 31-10 North Carolina win at TCU in 1997. These two teams do not play all that often. This is the grand opening of the Bill Belichick era. Curious exactly what this is going to look like. Looking at the numbers thus far, we've got TCU favored by 3.5 pretty much across the board. And we've got a total of 58.5 that has not moved off the opener. And then our money lines. Consensus, TCU minus 160, and we've got North Carolina plus 135. So that has moved in TCU's favor. Looking at some of the trends right now, TCU 11-0 straight up, 9-2 against the spread in their last 11 road openers. TCU 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 against the ACC. North Carolina 0-3 against the spread as a home dog since 2020. And North Carolina went 0-7 against the spread at home last year. They are 0-6 straight up, 1-5 against the spread against the Big 12. So a lot of trends that point towards the Horned Frogs. Now, when you look at roster talent overall, interesting. Number 29 roster talent for TCU, number 32 for North Carolina. But the power rating, especially when it comes to the quarterback, certainly interested. These are going to be fun coaching matchups. Freddie Kitchens, an offensive coordinator for North Carolina, against Andy Avalos, a defensive coordinator for TCU. Kendall Briles, an offensive coordinator for TCU, against Steven Belichick, a defensive coordinator who comes over from Washington. Gio Lopez is going to be the starter, we believe, for North Carolina. He comes in from South Alabama. He was a late transfer addition. I'm curious about it. He was good for South Alabama. What is he going to look like in this kind of an offense? What kind of offense are we going to get? That's the other question. The offensive line looks to be a strength for North Carolina, especially in this one. Number 25 offensive line against the number 57 defensive line for TCU. TCU's offensive line, not all that great either. Number 50 against the number 47 defensive line. So the line of scrimmage should be a strength on both sides for North Carolina. But when it comes to quarterback play, et cetera, Josh Hoover is an absolute dog. I'm curious about that. This TCU offense with Sonny Dykes just knows how to click. I'm curious about it. Now, the last time they had a big-time opener, it was against Colorado. They didn't look great. You know, the offense clicked, but the defense didn't. What is it going to look like with Andy Avalos this time? I'm curious. You know, the defensive line is not great, but number 17 linebackers, number 22 back seven, that's good. For North Carolina's offense, number 93 running backs, number 53 skill position talent. And then you flip it to the other side. Number 97 running back, number 27 skill position talent for TCU. Number 40 linebackers, number 35 back seven. So North Carolina has talent. TCU has good overall talent as well, but it's kind of separated out in certain spots, and it's not at the line of scrimmage. With that said, I don't necessarily buy into this North Carolina hype. There's a lot of people that are down on them and whatnot, and there has been money come in on TCU. I certainly understand that. I am of the belief that TCU with Sonny Dykes will be able to out-scheme here because I don't think Bill Belichick has seen anything like this. This is going to be interesting. So I've got TCU minus 4.8. I'm going to ride with that. I'm going to take the best number I can get, which is TCU minus 3.5. Maybe I'll get lucky and there's a 3 that comes up this week. But for show purposes, we're taking TCU minus 3.5. And finally, game number 10. This one's Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time, of course, God's time zone. This one on ABC, it's Syracuse and Tennessee from Atlanta. Interesting spot here. Let's go ahead and take a look at the numbers. Opened at 12.5 in favor of Tennessee. That thing is all the way up to 14 consensus. You can find some 13.5s on the board. The total opened at 55.5. It's down to 50.5. And our money line was at Tennessee minus 452. Now consensus is minus 600. Syracuse was plus 340. It's now at plus 440 for a consensus across the board. Syracuse 4-0 straight up, 3-0-1 against the spread in their last four openers. Syracuse 5-0 against the spread in their last five against the SEC, but Tennessee 4-0 against the spread in their last four against the ACC. Tennessee only 1-4 against the spread in their last five as a two-touchdown favorite. Most of those coming last year. Fran Brown, the head coach at Syracuse, he knows Heupel. He knows UT. He was an assistant at Georgia in 2022 and 2023. But good gracious, let's take a look at the actual numbers here. 247 roster talent, Tennessee number 15, Syracuse number 55. Adjusted returning production, Tennessee 55. That's after Nico is gone. Fran Brown and company number 103. They just got picked apart. Their wide receiver room is gone. Like, it's just, it's not good. It's not good. I'm curious about all of this. Success margin was good for Syracuse last year, but it was not as good as Tennessee. This is, I mean, this could be bad. On offense, Syracuse number 128 in adjusted returning production. Now, Steve Angeli coming in, that's good. I'm curious about Tennessee, right? What are we going to see out of the quarterback position for them? They're number 25 at quarterback, number 94 for Syracuse. Defensive line for Syracuse, number 46, but Tennessee's offensive line, number 28. Running back, number 47. Skill position, number 36 for Tennessee. The linebackers and back seven for Syracuse are number 85 and number 79. You move it to the other side of the ball. The offensive line for Syracuse, number 69. The defensive line for Tennessee should absolutely eat in this game. I know James Pierce is gone. It's not going to matter. Number 69 offensive line for Syracuse, number 16 defensive line for Tennessee. Running backs, number 103. Skill position talent, number 84 for Syracuse. Tennessee, number 50 linebacker, number 41 back seven. My number is Tennessee minus 14.5. I think it could get worse than that, excuse me. Especially in Atlanta, it's going to be nothing but Tennessee fans. Syracuse doesn't travel. So, you know, the money line that we've got on this consensus for Tennessee is minus 600. I've got a minus 524 with an 84% chance to win the game. As far as covering, give me Tennessee minus 13.5. Like, I think regardless of what happens at quarterback, I think Tennessee is going to be pretty good here. They'll be able to run the ball. Joey Housel's offense is going to be fine. I don't know about Syracuse, offense or defense. So if I have to go a certain way, I'll take Tennessee minus 13.5 in Atlanta. And that is going to wrap things up. Let's go ahead and recap our picks thus far. These are the top 10 games of week one that I'm going to be doing every Monday, maybe Tuesday. Ohio State minus 1.5, Clemson minus 4, Miami plus 2.5, Baylor plus 2.5, Nebraska minus 6.5, Florida State plus 13.5, Colorado plus 4, South Carolina minus 7.5, TCU minus 3.5, Tennessee minus 13.5. Don't forget, we'll have another video later this week with another additional 20 games, and then you can find the rest of my stuff over at bettingcfb.com. Like the video, subscribe, jump in the comments, all that good stuff. And we're going to catch you guys on the next one. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow at GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.